the funny thing about that is I grew up in Victoria, Texas, 30 miles from Goliad, and I didn't know that the connection to Matamoros either growing up, because I had heard the side of the story that more or less emphasized the Alamo, the massacre at Goliad, later the victory at San Jacinto, etc. So it really wasn't until I was working at the Texas State Historical Association, and I was assigned to do an article on the Matamoros expedition, that I started to realize that it was like the hidden story that connected everything together that I didn't know, and generally speaking, people don't know either. I suppose there are scholars, especially military historians, that connect the dots, but the general public certainly does not. And but yet, at the same time, if you go back to the period, Matamoros is central to the entire story.
So why is it central? Why does it tie everything together?
Well, if you have to start with what was happening in Mexico before you can even approach it from the Texas side. From the Mexican perspective, which was the take I have in this book, Mexico was concerned, actually Spain before Mexico was concerned, that the United States was encroaching upon their geographical territory. And then when Mexico got independence from Spain, the same thing transpired. And to make a very complicated story short, Matamoros became a key element in trying to, from the Mexican point of view, the Mexican government point of view, try to preserve northern Mexico, which included Texas, from American encroachment. And the strategy was, if you can open a port at the biggest river in northern Mexico, then that will ensure the prosperity of Mexican citizens throughout the entire region.
So Matamoros was a big prize, that it was a harbor which could be used, which was being used by Mexico, and it could have been used by Texas. So Texan commanders figured, let's go get Matamoros.
Correct. They saw it as a place, number one, that if they could confiscate the revenues, then it would fund, finance the Texas Revolution. This is from the Anglo side, of course.
And where are we in the timeline?
It is very much prior to the Alamo. And in fact, most of the activity that I just described occurred within 5 years or so before any of that takes place. So once the Alamo is actually a kind of an afterthought almost to the story I'm telling.
This was seen as a way for early in the fight for Texas independence was to do a preemptive strike. Let's go get Matamoros, and it will be a big move if we're successful in creating an independent Texas.
That's right. From the Anglo point of view, if they could capture Matamoros, they could capture the revenue that Matamoros was able to generate, which was pretty expansive. And at the same time, they hoped that that would force Santa Anna, the president of Mexico, to negotiate an independence treaty with Texas. But again, that's the Anglo point of view. If you look at it from the Mexican point of view, then we're looking at a whole different set of circumstances, which is why actually the book gets kind of complicated.
Right, and so and also didn't they think that if they were able to capture Matamoros, that it would that there would be a lot more breakouts of revolution across Mexico, and then Mexico would be too busy trying to keep it together to actually come back and invade Texas?
Yes, you're absolutely right. There was a division within the Anglo-Texan side, which hoped that by doing this towards Matamoros, it would do exactly what you said. It would cause the Mexican forces under Santa Anna to be so concerned with that they would more or less leave Texas alone. That's absolutely true.
So they had this great idea, this plan. Let's go capture Matamoros. This will be a big step in bringing about an independent Texas. But things didn't work out so well. It was pretty much a disaster, wasn't it?
Well, it was very much a disaster from the point because the Texas strategy was never like one thing. As my book points out, There were three different leaders of an Anglo-Texas movement to try to do this, and all three were in conflict with each other. You had one under Sam Houston, you had another one under a guy named Francis Johnson, and a third one under a man from Georgia originally, whose name was James Walker Fannin. And all three were trying to organize an expedition against the city. And what happens is they're at cross purposes. And then that conflicts with what they hoped would happen, which was to ally with Mexicans who wanted to create a federalist state of Texas, but still within Mexico. So that's what they ran up against. You got the independent movement people, and then you've got the ones that all they want is Texas as a separate state in Mexico. And both of those things come into conflict, which is why, from the Texas point of view, it ends in a disaster, because you can't get all three of those things to combine together to one thing.
So we had this armed campaign of a Texas militia going into trying to get to Matamoros, and they are defeated. And it pretty much shows Santa Anna that that Texas does have a military bent to it, that they're going to fight for its independence.
Yes, and I would add, it's not just Texans. Most of these people that were trying to take Matamoros were actually volunteers from the United States. So from Santa Anna's point of view, these are armed rebels coming from outside the country. They're not even Texas colonists. So he saw this as a case of the United States trying to attack Mexican sovereignty.
Why did it fail, other than the fact that there was no cohesiveness to the of the militias?
But the simple answer is because the generals that Santa Anna put in charge to defeat this whole thing, whose name was Urrea, he was brilliant, and he managed to do something that the Texans could not do, which was to unite all the conflicting parties together, which included those who supported Santa Anna in Mexico, those who supported federalism in Mexico, and those who saw the threat from Texas as taking away Mexican sovereignty. And Urrea was able to piece together not just Mexican citizens in Mexico, but Tejanos, who were Mexican citizens in Texas, and even Irish colonists in Texas. And they together defeat the American volunteers that were under the command of these various people I've already described, Fannin being probably the most famous.
Just imagine for a second, if alternative history, how things would have been different if the Texans were able to unite and the Mexicans were not able to unite, how history would have been spun differently.
Well, that's kind of an interesting question, because if that would have happened there, the way, at least the way I see it, in how I read the historical progression, there would not have been an Alamo, there would not have been a Goliad massacre, and perhaps Texas could have sued for independence peacefully without having to go through all the other. But that's not what happened. Mexico successfully tried to defend its territory, and with the result that until Sam Houston pulled off San Jacinto, it looked pretty bad for Anglo-Texas.